thinking.
I'd like to get you out of here.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 10, Episode 25, I'm Happy For You. Really. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Before we get into this, it is once again with this week. We will have a bonus episode for all of our Patreon supporters this week. So please go to patreon.com/againwiththis if you want to join them and receive both that bonus episode, the previous bonus episode where we look back on the career of Luke Perry, and future bonus episodes. Thank you very much for all who have already supported us and for any who will choose to do that after hearing this call.
Indeed. We will also welcome your suggestions as to,
yes,
again with this topics. We love to talk about things that you like to hear about. So join us.
Great call. Let us begin this episode, though, with our D plot. Seriously, no one cares about Ellen and Noah.
My God, why? Like, every time I see her, like, just so 2000 tufty hair, I'm like, Why are you here?
Yeah.
Who are you? Beat it.
Yeah. I mean, I took notes, but it's like, what do we even need to say? It's the same thing that they've been doing this whole time. Yeah. Like, he's interested. She's worried. She's backing off. He's too pushy. Should he be in her child's life? I don't know. This episode reveals some news about, like, Caitlin's biological father, who's apparently someone that Ellen still knows, but, like, it doesn't continue into the next episode, which is the series finale. So, like, who cares?
Yeah. Who cares? Like, even if this were, like, peak, like, season three, it would be like, oh my God, like, we've done this like five times with other characters.
I swear to God. All right. No one cares. Moving on to our C plot.
I mean, no one really cares about these either, but at least it's cast.
Yes. So onto the C plot. Steve is threatened by Janet's ascendant career. So he comes running into Maddie's room at Janet's Yelp because she somehow is still nursing Maddie, and Maddie is cutting her first tooth. And Steve knew, and Janet's sad that he didn't tell her this was happening. Also in pain. Like, this is news she needs to know. It's nipples are involved. She's conflicted about missing Maddie milestones while she's at work, but also doesn't want to risk possibilities for advancement by telling Charles Yaffe, the real smooth smoothie, that she wants to cut back on her hours. And Steve isn't sure yet whether he's sick of being at home, but he does have a page of editorial notes for the latest issue of The Beat that he was not involved with that he would like Janet to pass on. And then Steve comes to the office and is stunned to see people there working. I have to say, it is weird. There are people there, not just working, but in, like, pretty formal work attire, like, definitely way more formal than any publishing office I've ever worked. Like, there are, you know, guys in button-down shirts and suspenders. It's like, okay.
Well, and they put up, cube dividers. So,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it was always a great space. It was dumb that it was only the two of them in it. I mean, or even three when Brandon was there, but still. Mm. Steve's excitement at these developments is only dampened a little when the first guy that he sees has no idea who Steve is, and it's dampened a little bit more when Charles puts off his offer to discuss his notes. And then when Steve hears there's an editorial meeting at 7:30 and an assistant's already taking dinner orders, he is full on pissed and guesses that Janet didn't talk to Charles about working less. So she pulls him into the hall and says she tried, but then the conversation took a different turn. And Charles offered her a job editing a new magazine called, unimaginatively, Nouveau, if you are not French.
What they're always called.
It means new. Mm. Steve is generally unsupportive and specifically concerned about what will become of The Beat if Janet leaves. And when she kind of frustratedly whines that they should talk about it, Steve snits that he doesn't know when they would, since she's never home now. But she promises to be home at 10. But so many people are making demands on her time. Clip two.
Janet, that bearded lady expert's online too.
Can't keep the bearded lady expert waiting.
No. Is she an expert who is a bearded lady or an expert on bearded ladies? Not clear.
Or a bearded guy who's a lady expert?
Oh, interesting.
Make the hyphens explicit. Dialogue. We have literally nothing else to think about except Ellen and Noah, which, no.
I was going to say, give all their storylines to, or give their screen time to the bearded lady expert.
Yes, and the correct punctuation thereof.
So later, Steve is critiquing a cooking show when Janet comes bustling home to get a photo of fire from their album to create a dragon effect for the beat. And I know it's the past, but surely this publication has access to stock photographs. Apparently not. Steve thinks the crisis is a sign that the beat's in danger, but Janet says they're a new team and they need time to gel. Steve misses the way they were. Janet says this is a new idea and just needs a little time, but Steve blurts that he doesn't want to sell the beat. And Janet says she's late and this is a huge conversation, but she promises to think about it. And they reconvene the next day at their first breakfast together in a while, which Steve identifies as a reason for them not to sell the beat. Janet is willing to make family breakfast sacrosanct, but when she adds that she was up all night, Steve says it's the stress and that when they're both back at the office, she'll sleep much better. I love that Steve has been to the office and seen all of the resources this company has already devoted to the project and still thinks that they can back out of selling it. Like, no, he can't, really.
Or, like, just take the money and start over.
Right.
Apparently, in your universe, that's eminently possible. So, sure, be the new Icon Thought Style. Why not?
Right.
Yeah, so I said Icon Thought Style. I did it. At me. I dare
you. Janet says she knows how strongly Steve feels, but that she feels strongly too, and she can't pass up the opportunity. Going back to doing the beat the way they used to might be right for Steve, but it isn't for her. And Steve, getting testy, says this decision affects them both, and then starts larding on the guilt about all the moments in Maddie's life that Janet's going to miss, as if she wasn't already up all night thinking about exactly that, as she said. And then he goes even further in clip 3.
Pancake breakfasts are good, Janet. Don't let ambition blind you to that.
Why is it in regard to women the word ambition sounds like a bad thing?
Because this time it is. This job may work out for you, but it doesn't work for us.
Well, I'll consider myself warned.
Shut up, Steve.
Fuck off, Steve.
On to the B-plot, Camille returns to make shit awkward. David and Donna reunited are leg wrestling on the couch at his place. That's not a euphemism. It's literally what they're doing.
She also is a petty French. Unsurprising, but also gross.
I didn't notice that. That's perfect.
I did barf.
They've moved on to making out by the time Noah comes home, sees them, and gets all weird. David's face is busted again, by the way. After going back to looking rosy last week, now it's all drawn again. And after Noah has shuffled out, Donna exposits that Camille is coming back to town the next night and that it's going to be uncomfortable working with her at the store, given, you know, everything. And the next day, Camille's already there when Donna arrives, and Donna acts chill as hell by immediately seizing up at the sight of Camille. Camille brought back Pennsylvania Dutch pretzels from her sisters in Philadelphia, and that is literally all I want to think and talk about now. They look so good. They even have like a close-up of them for no reason except to make me hungry, and it works.
Yeah,
so,
I was actually thinking that they like went back in time to torture you. Amazing.
Yeah, they did.
Is this good a job. Salad? No, it isn't.
Good job on the product placement, Pennsylvania Dutchman. Anyway, not sounding very interested, Donna asks if Camille had a nice visit, and Camille isn't that effusive. She's been at the store since 8, in case David was trying to reach her. Donna asks whether Camille has spoken to him. She has not, but that he says he did leave her 2 messages at home the night before, which she thinks might mean he had a change of heart about breaking up. And she asks what Donna thinks and won't let Donna shrug it off, since obviously she knows Donna and David talk constantly, so Donna tries to answer without lying or telling the whole truth in clip 4.
I mean, you guys broke up, right?
Yeah, completely, totally out of the blue.
Yeah, but you were having problems.
Yeah, again, out of nowhere. About Dylan, about nothing.
David's a thoughtful guy.
Exactly. He overthinks. What? Things were so perfect so fast. I think it scared him. Then what else could it be?
Ladies, it's literally never that. Like, tell yourself what you have to so you can sleep, but it is just absolutely never that.
No. Girl, anyway, Camille then...
Also, be happy. He sucks.
Yeah. You made a narrow escape, like... celebrate. Anyway, Camille then comes back from lunch upset because she just saw David, which, why was that meeting off screen?
Thank you.
The choices.
I mean, not that I wanted to endure Brian Austin Green trying to, you know, let her down gently because he'd just be a piss face about it, but
yeah,
you should have shown it anyway.
It's bizarre. Anyway, Donna's sorry. Camille turns on her, saying that Donna knew all along that David hadn't been calling her to get back together, but then backing off because she sounds bitter. Donna says she sounds hurt and has every right to be, and Camille tells her not to be nice because that just makes it harder. Then she starts crying and lets Donna hug her and then mocks herself for hugging the other woman. And Donna decides this is the right time to say that working together is going to be too hard for both of them, so what does Camille think she should do? Camille wants to stay, but Donna says she doesn't and is ready to buy Camille out. So why did you ask what she wanted to do? Like, why wouldn't you just make the offer and not make it a conversation? Like, it's still your business, whatever. Camille is also still actively crying. Like, maybe give it a few minutes before you tell her you lost your boyfriend and now soon your job as well. So, of course, Camille is naturally horrified but also wants to keep busy at work. And Donna backs off, saying that's what they'll do. So great. Classic Donna management technique. Yep. Speaking of later, Donna goes to see David in his dumb booth, sit in his lap to kiss him while his bored audience watches. And they woo, but it's probably at her unprotected nipples, which I'm sorry to say you can see in the visual aids.
They sure are. Her bracelet is fantastic, though. It's really a sad confluence of kind of good and very bad.
Yeah. Donna wants to go fuck, but David has to work until 2. So she runs into Steve at the bar and they bitch about their current relationship problems until Donna asks what happens if a couple's sex life dries up completely and it's too close to home for Steve to want to talk about it. The next day... David comes out of his room to find Noah packing up his 4 shirts and getting ready to move out. Not really sounding like he cares, David asks if Noah was going to say anything before he left, and Noah spits at him not to screw things up with Donna. David thinks he's being ridiculous since Donna and Noah broke up months ago, but Noah pouts that this was always supposed to be temporary, and now it's over, and David is his usual understanding self, JKA Clip 5.
So I have a great week, and you have a bad week, so you need to move out. Why don't you just take it one step further and cut all your friends off? You could be at the bar in an hour.
I forwarded my calls to the club.
If you move, it's on you, all right?
Okay. Oh,
what was that for? What was that mournful guitar?
I don't know. These two have never been friends.
Yeah.
It's very dumb.
Maybe he's just moving out because you're a twat. Took him long enough.
It's always on the table. The other thing that struck me about that conversation was when he's like, I had my calls forwarded to the club. I was like, what does that mean? And then I remember that you could get like different rings on the same line on a landline in the past. Memories.
Yep.
The next night, Donna goes by David's house to pick him up for dinner and sees that Camille is there crying. This is such a betrayal of Camille's character, who, other than wanting to fuck David, was pretty cool up until this happened. It's a bummer.
Yeah. And given the way that David has behaved, Camille, as written up to that point, would just go hop on Dylan's dick.
Honestly.
If Kelly would let go of it for 5 minutes, but we'll get to that.
Camille is horrified that Donna is catching her there and obviously wants to leave with whatever's left of her dignity. And David stops her so that she won't drive in her current state. And Donna regrets popping by and obviously tells David to go deal with Camille, but she is disappointed. I don't know. Maybe try to date a guy who just broke up with your business partner 10 minutes ago. Could get messy.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's something to consider. So when she gets home later, Donna shares with Kelly her worry that David loves Donna only in a sisterly way. Kelly tries to talk her off the edge in clip 6.
David waited 7 years to sleep with you.
Nope.
No, he didn't.
He slept with like five other women in that time. He did not. Wait.
Yeah, got crabs from one of them. P.S.
The next day at the store, Camille apologizes for the previous night, but says she had to see David. No one has to see David, by the way. She goes on to say how much she misses him, and as nicely as she can, Donna says she can't hear this. She's not the friend that Camille can go to about this, since Camille obviously can't trust any advice Donna might give her or believe Donna if she says she's sorry. And Camille asks if they may talk about the details of the buyout later, but guesses Donna will be very generous and fair about it, which is why Camille can't really hate her. That and the fact that Donna's played by the boss's daughter, obviously. So then David is sitting on his front porch when Donna rolls up in a dumb shawl. She announces that she loves him, but that if he's changed his mind about their reunion, he can just say so. And she keeps trying to lead him to admit that he thinks of her as family, and he says he does in a way. And she guesses that means he doesn't want to see the new sexy underwear she got. But he changes the subject to her old high school yearbook, which he has dug up. And we hear that as he reads his own inscription in clip 7.
Dear Donna, wow, senior year. I never thought we'd make it. Did you really date this guy?
Yeah.
Poor thing. Sanders and his jock friends never thought you'd date me. But you did. You let me kiss you, and I haven't wanted to stop since. If you turn to page 72, where my picture used to be...
Where you magic markered it out. I can't believe you did that.
What you'll see instead of a really bad shot of me is a lie. Future goals. A career in the music industry.
That's not a lie.
It's all I put down because I couldn't say what I really want. That's you. Forever. Someday I'm going to get you to marry me. Without a picture, we can lie to our kids and say I used to be handsome.
You are so handsome.
Well, as long as you think so.
She's the only one. Hang on to her with both hands, my dude.
Yep.
So he leads her inside where he's lit a million candles, and when she turns around, he's directly behind her with a diamond ring, and his about to propose face is extremely creepy. Obviously, it's in the visual aids. He's so gross. I really hate him.
Yeah, as he looks kneels. High.
What was that?
He looks high.
Oh, yeah, he does.
It's totally. Like he just did a whip it. He's waiting for it to clear so he doesn't talk like this. Like, okay.
So as he kneels, Donna babbles that she didn't even think he wanted to kiss her, and he somewhat presumptuously puts the ring on her finger before asking if she will marry him. And the shot of her face is weirdly blurry, which you can also see in the visual aids.
Like, what the hell?
Did you not get another shot?
I could understand, like, the shot of the ring was out of focus, which, like, this one actually isn't as bad as some, but...
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, obviously paced, so fine. But then she is out of focus, like, it's the second to last episode of the series. It's the boss's daughter, and it's a proposal scene.
Yeah.
Was everyone doing whippets? I guess it's not impossible.
Yeah, it's really weird. So he takes her silence to mean that she's speechless with emotion, but clip 8.
I don't know.
Okay.
No, I just need a little time to think about it.
It's all right.
What?
Yeah, that's where they leave it. That's not the end of our episode, but that's the end of the show, like the show's episode.
I don't understand.
I'll think about it. Okay.
And then they have the like triumphant final reunion of these two star-crossed blah 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 music, which is like soundtrack.
Yeah,
she basically was like. Let me just think about it. And then started crying. Like, if I'm David, I'm taking the ring off and being like, you know what?
Forget it.
Yeah. Bye. That you answered me. You don't think you did, but you did.
I mean, the next episode is the series finale, so I think we all know where this is going, but still, it's very strange.
Very, very bizarre.
On to the A plot. Dylan's non-death sparks confusing feelings in Kelly. So we join Kelly, Kelly's insane hair, which you can see in the visual aids, and Matt at the Peach Pit, where Matt is talking up the cultural experiences Seattle has to offer. Remember that? How they're maybe moving to Seattle? Dylan walks in and Kelly chirps a hello like the end of the last episode never happened, and then seems stung that he doesn't even acknowledge her. Cut to Nat, who has been painting his hair again. He appears to give Dylan the order he called in. So dark, Sarah.
It's, yeah, no, I know. I know.
Like, it really, when I say painted, I mean, it really looks like he was in the back, like, with a Sharpie. Anyway.
Yeah, or just like a tin of shoe polish. It's not the good.
So Dylan says he had intended the order to be takeout, though he then indicates Kelly as the reason he doesn't want to stay, and Nat gets it. Hey, here's a thought. Eat at any other restaurant.
Yeah.
Any.
Cumin? Anyone?
God.
Room service? You live in a fucking hotel.
Kelly invites Dylan to eat with them, and Dylan once again ignores her, and Matt asks what's going on, and for some reason, Kelly kind of tells him the truth in clip 9.
Dylan decided on his own out of the blue that he wants to be with me.
He told you this.
In his own way. He just wants to stir things up. Don't let him, okay? I don't plan on it. Tell me more about Seattle.
Kelly, I'm not going to sell you on a life that you don't want. I'm not remotely interested in that.
Enlighten me so that I can make an educated decision about where I want to live with my husband.
Thank you.
Credit sting. I mean, if you don't want to stir things up, hey, maybe don't tell him that. Don't tell Matt that you had this conversation if, you know, nothing is going to come of it. You're just stirring things up and making him insecure.
Yeah. I mean, it's the writers revisiting, just like going back to their own vomit with this and Ellen and Noah and Donna and David, like, just wrap it up. But they're not going to. So we all have to live in the bell jar.
Honestly, like the wheel spinning, it's such an imposition on all of our time, and we deserve better.
It really is. This should have been over 5 weeks ago. Here we are. God, love you guys.
So Kelly and Donna are out shopping for sexy lingerie. Now that Donna's squared away romantically, they can talk about Kelly's fucked up love life in clip 10.
How is Dylan? He's not talking to me, which is so obnoxious because everything was fine.
But you're the one that said all or nothing.
I didn't mean it so literally. I mean, I should have never let him narrow down the categories. There is a lot between all or nothing. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna need long underwear if we move to Seattle.
Are you really considering that?
I don't know. Maybe. I just don't understand what goes on in Dylan's head, you know? He doesn't want you to marry someone else?
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And you don't really want to marry someone else either.
Yeah.
But you won't shit and you won't get off the pot. And now you're complaining about hovering over the bowl.
Yep.
All of you shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So Kelly decides she doesn't want Dylan's attitude at her wedding. So mission accomplished for Dylan. Probably he was the one who said in the last episode he didn't want to go. So
yeah,
she's
although he totally
going to go
would
tell
have showed
him
up to haunt it anyway, but doesn't matter.
Yeah. So Kelly says she's going to go tell Dylan in person this very day, but Donna says he told her he's going to be surfing at Point Doom. More wedding planning. This factoid has aged great. Clip 11.
You know what? This caterer did Michael Jackson and Lisa Marie's wedding.
Oh, that's not doomed.
No. What was on the menu? Bubbles? Too soon?
Yeah. They're on their way to taste appetizers and wine, and Matt has cleared his whole day for it, and they have a polite tussle over the radio that ends on the news, which reports a surfer fatality at Point Doom, and Kelly suddenly remembers that's where Dylan was. Matt thinks it's unlikely he was there since the beaches were closed due to riptides, but Kelly wants to go anyway and find out if Dylan is dead. So after a commercial, Kelly asks if Matt thinks she should call the cops again and then ignores his answer about what the police will and won't disclose to them. Kelly says that since Jack is in witness protection and Iris communes with nature, not sure why that disqualifies her, Kelly and Matt are Dylan's next of kin. And when they get to the Point Doom, they see a covered corpse on a gurney already. Matt confidently says, there's no way that's Dylan. I kind of wanted to be like, it's not skinny enough, but he doesn't.
I know. Because that, I mean, that has to be the reason, but.
Yeah.
Sigh. It doesn't look anyway, like a praying mantis. Can't be him. Okay.
Kelly thinks that the car parked there is Dylan's, but she isn't sure because he just got a new one. And sounding more and more annoyed, Matt insists that Dylan will live to mope at Kelly again. But they end up at the county morgue where they can't get any information about the corpse because the family hasn't been notified yet. And Kelly gets more and more anxious, begging for the woman at the desk to tell her it's not Dylan. But Kelly's phone rings first, and that's Dylan. He knows she's been calling constantly because he just checked his messages. He apparently literally hopped a train and ended up in Salinas. Like he says, he hopped a train like a hobo instead of just buying a ticket. What are you doing, dude? Kelly is mad, but mostly relieved, and ends by saying she was wrong about something and then immediately hanging up. The next day, Kelly and Matt are at the Peach Pit, where she is trying to wave off her terror of the previous day and has just declined Matt's suggestion that they talk about it when Dylan enters, and this time he deigns to address her. Clip 12.
Listen, I'm around today if you need to get a hold of me.
You know why she called?
Matt.
Actually, no, I don't.
It doesn't matter, okay?
Gotta go pay the bill.
A surfer drowned at Point Doom yesterday. Donna told me you were up there.
I wasn't. Change of plans.
Just the thought that that could have been you.
Made you call all over town looking for me.
We ended up in the morgue.
What are you doing, Kelly?
I was worried and irrational.
What are you doing with your life? That. He went to the morgue with you?
It was great to me, during all of it. Can you imagine?
No, I can't. But I can see why he's the kind of guy that you'd want to hang on to.
Oh. Shade. Chilly, chilly, dilly shade.
Yeah. I mean, I get his point. He's saying, like, you're basic and Matt is basic and you deserve each other. But, like, how many times does she have to come to him and be like, no, I want whatever you're offering?
Yeah.
God.
More times. Spoiler. More times than this.
Yeah, it's not over yet. So Donna comes back to find Kelly moping on the deck about Matt in Seattle and correctly declares that Kelly doesn't want to move, so she doesn't know why she's acting at all like she might. And Kelly says there's too much history for her in L.A. And then catches Donna up on thinking Dylan was dead and how it made her realize that she loves him. And the day after that, Kelly and her culturally appropriated, vaguely Asian blouse go to Dylan's suite to see if he wants to go for a walk on the beach. And he's back to not answering her until she calls him on it. And he has to say for the 500th time that there's no point in him trying to start something back up with her when she's engaged to someone else. She's glad he's being honest with her and then gets more honest with him than he probably cares for in clip 13.
Truth is, I can never imagine having you without imagining losing you to another woman or an addiction. Or your inevitable lack of interest?
You already said no to me once. I don't need to hear it again.
Maybe I am not repeating myself.
What?
It isn't right.
So what'd you come over here for? You say you want to be friends. Is that it?
I want to go for a walk with you.
Taking a walk is not going to get us anywhere. It's not going to get us here.
I know.
We all know.
Make a move, my God.
Like, well, seriously. And like, first of all, hotel, stop letting her up to his suite. Come on. Mm-hmm. Dylan, stop answering the fucking door. Kelly, stop wearing those pants. Ooh, not a good choice for your particular shape.
No.
And also, eat a bee. Instead of talking, eat a bee.
God.
And Matt, leave. Like, you, well, actually, whatever. You can't, you can't not know. So, you're an adult. Good luck.
Ridiculous. So then Kelly is changing it up by lying on her bed to pout when she hears the door and it's Matt. She assumes it's in response to a message that she left him, but actually, he just got a call that his brother died in a pileup on the LIE. Kelly would go to the funeral with him and take care of everything, so if she was about to dump him, she kind of can't now. Good job, Matt's brother. Damn.
Yeah.
And that's it. Let us close up by naming our MVP.
The bearded lady expert, motherfuckers. There's literally nobody who's really in the cast that I could even point to. Because everybody's just being idiots.
Yeah. I'm going to say Maddie because at least she is able to bite someone and show her frustration that way, which no one else is willing to do.
Yeah. Also, they've like changed babies and this one is also extremely cute. So,
yeah.
Good job, Maddie.
Least valuable player. I mean, there's so much choice, but I really have to give it to Steve, who's being so shitty about Janet's career. Like,
yeah.
You support her, take the money, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Kelly.
Fair.
Hateful.
So hateful. But we're almost done, Sarah. We're almost done.
I know.
Let's do the Kim challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
Five ways from this episode, Dylan proves he is mad, bad, and dangerous to know. It's dangerous to hop trains like a Depression era oboe.
Yeah. Your hair is bad. Cut it.
Yeah. It's bad to keep getting food at the peach pit and then being pissy when you run into people you don't want to see when you know they're there all the time.
Yeah, it's also bad and dangerous to just leave your hotel room open because who knows who's going to blunder in there. Sophie was like stealing room service for her picnic basket. So it's not just Kelly you have to worry about.
That's true. It's dangerous to keep toying with Kelly because you're both going to get burned and end up with a baby, spoilers, in another series.
That you won't support David. I mean, Brian. I mean, Dylan.
That's it.
Yep. Next time on Again with This Melrose Place Edition, Joe is forced to reveal what she left behind in New York. Matt is forced to choose between setting legal precedent and making his rent. And we are forced to begin hearing Josie Bassett's weird pronunciation of the word designs. We won't force you, but you can see Jane's designs in our visual aids. You can see those for this and every other episode of Again With This on our website, againwiththispodcast.com, or on our Twitter account, at AWT90210. Or just throw some overalls on over a pirate shirt and head to our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/againwiththis. I am Bearded Lady Expert Sarah D. Bunting. Hyphenate it however you want. I am still on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Aspirational Pancake Breakfast, Tara Ariano, and she's on Twitter at Tara Ariano. And our producer is Lisa Marie's wedding reference, David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
Hi. You know what to do after the beeparoonie.